social science. And I felt that it really, really opened your eyes and in a way expanded your horizon. So after graduation, I actually did a couple of different things. So first, I worked with a social enterprise that is being established to help families where they've got disabled children. So I helped them carry out some media researches in terms of how the images of disabled children are being portrayed in mass media. And afterwards, I realized actually TV is my true passion. So I joined a TV production company called Sunset Wine, which belongs to Tinoptics Group. It is one of the largest independent TV producers in the UK. So I now work with a very international team as well. I have colleagues from US, Canada, Brazil, and me from China. So my daily role, I work with broadcasters based in Asia. So I'm in charge of the programming licensing to Asia and also general business development. Because we mainly specialize in sports, so I work with a lot of the sponsors in the areas and also federations in these areas. I think one of the skill sets, you have to say, that I learned from LSE and really benefit me in my career would be the ability to research. I think in a career you came across different subjects, subjects that you are not necessarily familiar with, so it's very important to be able to research and educate yourself. So that's probably the main take from me, from my point of view. So I think I'll probably finish here. So talk to Patty.
Thank you. All right, so now I'm going to ask the panelists to answer one or both of the following questions. One of the things that, and we have a lot of current students here, as well as I've been thrilled that we've got alumni here, but one of the questions that students always want to know is, should I have an internship? What is it I should do in order to get a job? And the global students are, believe it or not, incredibly well employed. And so, sort of, you talked a little bit about your career path, but in terms of career advice, what do you think is the most important thing for students to get a job? And then the second thing is, as we look at all of the issues that our speaker talked about this morning and the role that Craig mentioned, that communication plays both in the creation, constitution, and enabling of all of these new communication technologies, whether it's for a city or for search, or Ariel does a lot of film as well. And so we've got all of these different, you know, sort of approaches out there. Is there something that you can tell us as faculty, I wish I had X when I was in school? What is it that I would have liked to have learned? What is it that you should have in order to prepare students for the world, not just when they graduate, but for the world 5 years out, 10 years out? And so that's in part, you know, this is our opportunity to also learn from you and from your life experiences. All right? And so, in any order, who wants to go first? I made Ariel go first last time, so someone else should do it.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Just to change my routine. Okay, so the first question about internship. I think it pretty much depends on yourself. This is a question about yourself as well. What do you want to do in this internship? For me, I did the internship. For me, the internship is more of trying out things that you were interested in, but you wasn't 100% sure. It's about exploring, trying to find what you were really interested in. It's an opportunity to make a mistake as well. So I interned at an art company, which was a very interesting company. They do this online library to allow you to borrow artworks for companies. So I worked in their marketing team for a short time period, but in the end decided that wasn't really something I was going to do for long term. So I personally think internship is something you should definitely explore, but it's not necessarily you would have to decide what is you going to do from now on. And the second question, personally, I think that would be an area if we were be able to touch in the future. I think to provide students trainings, a skill set in terms of entrepreneurship, to be able to create and develop something new, because the media landscape and is changing so fast these days. We see all these technologies, new media companies, there are so many of them, a lot of people doing, not necessarily having a media background, but different background, they are already in the area. I think our students would benefit from this as well, but Aaron probably have more thoughts on this part than me.
I took an internship with myself and I stayed. That's my thing.
So I totally agree actually with what you say. It's a chance to fail, and often that's the best things, and they are very rare in life. So you know, because we're often so focused about like building our careers. So when I was in Shanghai, I interned with the Goethe Institute, which is the German Cultural Institute, and at the moment or at the time they were sort of organizing together between the German and the Chinese foreign ministry the largest public diplomacy campaign, nation branding campaign, but together in a partnership. It was Dujong Chongqing, I think. And so Germany and China moving ahead together. And for me, it was a great way to like exploring further this sort of like the urban theme that emerged during my studies. And it was fantastic. So I definitely encourage you to do that. Obviously, probably most of you have done dozens of internships, so at some point you might also get a bit bored. But I think it's always a great opportunity. You always learn something, and even if it is what you don't want to do later on. And maybe a little anecdote about I wish I had. I mean, the first thing I was thinking was had more time, because it's just so. But that's also why I went back. Yeah, that's why I had like 2 more years on campus, which was amazing. A little anecdote, maybe when I worked at the European Commission. So one of the things was like there was not in social media at all. So I was like, God damn it, you guys just need to set up a Twitter account. You know, I was working for DG Environment, so the environmental department. And I had no authority whatsoever, but I was just like, oh, God damn it, I'm just going to open one. I'm not going to ask anyone. So I did. And then I was working in the communications team. Everyone was super excited because, you know, they were all like not sure what to do. So I came up with a media plan, and they had the big like Green Week, which is a huge gathering. European gathering, and I did the whole social media strategy for that, and so it was a huge success. And it was also interesting to go into the European Commission and see how, you know, sometimes how the old ways of doing things, the old processes were like creaking, but there was also this new type of like the new cohort of like change makers, and they really tried at the time to connect the people who wanted to change and also update the organization and the commission to connect with each other. They had an intranet and all of that. And this was really, really interesting to see, because you realize, yes, there are so many brilliant people out there, but at the same time, you need to enable this institutional change. And I think this also just helps to get these insights, and I definitely learned a lot of that during my time here.
Thank you. All right, so for internships, I think definitely no. I mean, at least from my experience, and also I think most of the panelists, they have the same feeling. So actually, I did a few internships in my USC years, because I wish I had longer time, like in London, so I can, you know, have opportunity to do one. I interned with the Tennis Channel, 20th Century Fox, and also the Morgan Stanley. So I think the beauty of this program is, you know, it gives you like a lot of opportunities and resources that you can try differently. So basically, I checked out like the media route. I think most of people, like, you know, they're probably going to take that track. But from like the internship with Morgan Stanley, I actually found, oh, financial world is kind of fun too. So I took the other route. I think I totally agree with you know, the panel said, like, the internships are very safe for you to make mistakes and learn, because nobody will become like picky like on the interns. But once you get into like professional firm, everybody's very picky, and then they will have like very high expectations. So I think, you know, this is definitely one of the vice. And then the other thing is about the program. I think, because I know, like, you know, for this program, I mean, it already have like the top notch, like the most, you know, respected, you know, media experts, and have all the information like about it. But in terms for the students who might want to expand, like, you know, a broader like communication space, I think it might be good to add something like mega trend. You know, what is going on, like, you know, in the world? What are the emerging nations? Where are the opportunities? So I think, you know, if can add that perspective, and can, you know, further give the, like, a competitiveness to the students when they looking, like, you know, competing for the jobs with MBA graduates, right? So besides, like, the communication skills you have, you also understand what's going on, like, in the business trends. So that's my suggestion. Yes, thank you.
So both as a student and as a teacher in the Globals program, I think I would really focus on the real-life project that we get to work on as part of the program. As a student, I think that's one of my best memories. At USC, Professor Rebecca Weintraub connected my group with the American Cancer Society, and we went and met the representatives of their LA chapters, and they gave us the mission to design a communications plan targeting LGBT communities in the Los Angeles region. So we went and surveyed the community and tried to understand why they didn't feel comfortable engaging with the American Cancer Society. And then we built a campaign, and then eventually the American Cancer Society ended up implementing some of our recommendations. And that really, for the first time after that project, I felt I knew what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do, and that really helped me make strategic decisions for myself. And as for the future of the program, I think the more the more time the students also spend outside of the campus and the university, the more they're going to strengthen their network and build a concrete idea of what they want to do with their lives. And now, as a Google employee, I also think that there are many companies like Google who could benefit from input from students who think about these big media-related questions and issues. And I already have many ideas of stuff where, you know, it'd be great to work with students on some papers and analysis. So that would be my recommendation.
Thank you. To be honest, I was kidding earlier when I said I didn't take any internships, because being an entrepreneur, you constantly take on internships with yourself. You fire yourself. you leave, you come back. So I guess I will talk a little bit about that. When I finished the program with LSE at Fudan in Shanghai in 2010, I was actually considering to come back here for a pretty sweet job in advertising. I had not done advertising before, but I did help a little bit somebody that I got to know here in London. And at that time, what they were doing is they were using the international talent that was based here in London to do campaigns all around the world, copywriting campaigns for different cultures, different attitudes, etc., using the pool of talent here. It was actually the financial crisis, so it was a very good model at the time. Later on, when I finished the program in Shanghai, I didn't really want to come back to London, to be honest. I came back here for a second, took a look, and said, oh, that's boring. It's wonderful, don't get me wrong. But I think anybody who has experienced some of the buzz and excitement that is in the air of Shanghai can find it both intoxicating and bad for your lungs for sure, but also but also addictive if it fits you as a person. And I took a bunch of internships. The first project that I had was with I'm kidding when I say internships. I took them as projects. They later formed to become a company. But my first project was with a Russian oligarch called Vladimir Gusinsky, who has a very, very long history and heritage in Russian media. He was the founder of NTV that was taken from him by Putin in return for his life, sort of. But he does still have RTVI as the global Russian-speaking network. And he at the time wanted to penetrate China, and a friend of mine who was working at APCO Worldwide as a consultant said, you know what, you just finished researching how the rise of China is changing content creation in the world in terms of storytelling and narrative. That's what I wrote my thesis about and interviewed a few professors about as well. Why don't you try and do something for them? Because I had formed a few relationships and thought I could help. So I did that for a few months and failed. But a TV network in China called SMG, one of the largest ones, got to know me through that cooperation. And then they said, the vice president said, you know what, I have a friend, and this is a very Chinese story, to whom I want to give a time slot on Dongfang Dianshi, which is a very good, but the guy didn't know anything about television. However, you seem to know a thing or two about television, because this is what I was doing before. Why don't you guys team up and work together? So we formatted a TV show that was meant for consumption on mobile, etc. It was just a 10-minute thing that we thought was perfect for commuting, etc. It was for young people about sports and lifestyle and music. And we got sponsors, and the show is now running for the third season. But this is not a story of complete success for me, because again, also from that, I was fired very quickly. They realized that I had done my job, I had helped them come up with a concept, get the right funding for it, but then I was not necessary anymore. I'm not telling you these stories so you feel bad for me, but just to emphasize how necessary indeed it is to fail in order to succeed and to get back on your feet. That TV show that we did introduced me to some sponsors and some commercial clients who later became the first clients of Arma Media, which is the company that I am now heading, and for a few years with a wonderful staff in Shanghai. So I encourage you to take risks and, yes, to try it out, whether as entrepreneurs or by working for companies. Try out, see what you feel about doing different things. But more than anything, as a personal lesson, I would encourage you to do things that you're very passionate about and really love. Because the challenges that you confront at the LSE or in the library are great, but they can be minor if you compare them to things that are you later confront in your career, in your life. And you really have to love what you do in order to go through the rough times as well. And if you love what you do, you'll be happier. And I assure you that the dime will follow as well. So that would be my two cents.
Lovely. Yeah.
Is open up for questions from the audience. Nicole or Zoe, someone will bring around the microphone. I love what the students have had to say. I especially like the idea for the Megatrends class. My research group focuses on the future, and so we could easily put together a course like that for the students, and we do have an entrepreneurship class, and so that's also great fun. But now I'm sure you probably have other questions. And while you're a little shy, people raise your hands. While you're doing that, Phil Avelina, who was on the video, I had him come to talk to my class one day, and I asked him the question about what do you wish you had learned, and he said Excel. He said, get good at Excel. Because all companies use it, and they all expect you to have learned it at university. He said, of course, none of us did. But, yeah, so.
That's right.
Hi, I'm John. I'm a practical. I'm going to USC next year. I guess on the note of megatrends and you know, having foresight in the future, I was hoping that each of the panelists would give some insight as to what possibilities do you see for yourself in a way that excites you of where you will be in the next 5 years.
That's cool.
Anyone? I'm very excited to hopefully be a father in 5 years. I did not meet my partner or my wife in at the LSE. I feel quite discriminated by now. It probably shows a lot of forces. I think that'll be very fulfilling. Just to break the ice. Now you guys answer seriously.
Ariel, that's okay. We might also soon have a trouble baby. No, I don't know. Maybe I think there's so much to be excited about nowadays. I think what is also interesting for if you think about the skills that we learn here and what we can use in the future is also just to be able. I think the critical thinking is really useful, especially in the field where I'm working now. This whole like smart cities thing. It's really like a huge movement. Making life in cities better, making it healthier, making it more sustainable, and so on and so forth. And the biggest obstacle is not technology at all. The biggest obstacle is convincing people to do the right thing together. And so this is, I find, actually often the most interesting part of the job is doing the cultural change. And what you can definitely take from that is that... Sorry, now I lost my train of thought.
Cultural change.
The cultural change, yeah. But sorry, can you repeat your question?
In whatever you're doing,
what to be excited about?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think with this whole thing, what you're seeing now exactly is the emergence of cities actually joining up, for instance, in their own alliances and just like going ahead. So we have COP21. Next week or the next 2 weeks in Paris, for instance, there will be the largest gathering of mayors on the planet. So there will be 1,000 mayors coming to Paris. I remember still when I just started here at LSE, there was the Copenhagen climate conference, and it was such a disaster. But also right next to the nation, heads of nation, like sort of like not being able to come to terms with each other because of ideological difficulties and you know not wanting to agree, basically. Right next door, there was actually a gathering of 40 mayors, and they also set their own emission reduction targets. They pointed out, you know, the way to the future, how they're going to become healthier and cleaner and more sustainable, but nobody reported about it. So there was sort of, it was a blind spot in the public sphere in that sense, and this was what interested me, and I think in those past 5-6 years, we've come a long way. Cities are now actually being recognized as global change makers and sort of the places where mayors also with very much with a can-do attitude say, look, we'll just do it. We're not waiting for anyone. And there's this famous saying or quote from a former mayor in the US who at some point just said, look, there is no liberal or Republican or Democratic way of picking up the trash. And there's, you know, I think it's a great quote because it shows you you just need to get the job done, and I think in 5 years' time, this would be even more important.
Just a few words to add. First, I really want to echo like what Eero said. Like, you really need to love what you do, and then you're passionate about it, and then sometimes when ups and downs, then you can still try to make it happen. So in the next 5 years, I think what really excites me particularly is if I can see more and more Chinese companies really become transnational or global companies, not just like Chinese companies. Because I recall, and also like, you know, China overall, right? Because I recall like we took classes like at LSE, like global cities, and then there's another class and talk a lot about like transnational corporations. And so, but right now for China, after like 30 years of growth, And as many of you already know, like China right now is the second largest economy in the world, but actually depends on like the Chinese companies. Yeah, right now they're, you know, investing overseas, but their approach, when you compare with a real global company like Google, like, you know, other big players, there are gaps. So I think they're transforming themselves, and I'm very glad to be part of it. And then one of the exciting things, like, you know, we're actually going to launch in January is with a nonprofit organization, we created a series, like Chinese company investing in Southern California series. And then, because right now they already invest like billions and billions of dollars, particularly like in like real estate and hospitality. So we're going to launch an issue and study that. But that is just like a very beginning. I hopefully, like in the long run, they can be a really, like, you know, global player, not just like high ranked in the Fortune 500 like global company, but they really have, you know, like a very valuable brand. You know, can compete with all the other, you know, transnational companies. Yeah, so that's what excites me.
I'm excited about the next wave of innovators who will come challenge Google and the likes of Google and push the boundaries of what's possible and what technology has achieved. I'm excited. I have many questions, and I can't wait to see what actually happens. And then thinking about tonight specifically, I wonder if in 5 years, when we'll celebrate the 20th anniversary, we'll have events across all different universities, connected, live, you know, interactive, because that's probably the... I don't know what you're doing and if you're doing anything in the cloud and connected today, but that's probably the future of a truly global program.
Can I add something on a serious note? I am in a place in the world, Shanghai, where 5 years, it's like cat years. So it's basically 35 years. Anything that happens elsewhere in 7 years happens there in a condensed, compressed, hyper-globalized, local environment. I am very, very excited to see what China will bring to the world in the next 5 years. The tremendous changes that this society has been going through are changing, I feel, anything from e-commerce to a lot of the dichotomies between West and East. Some of these societies in the East are a lot more westernized, I feel, today than some societies in the East. Or I think it's... every time I travel from Shanghai to New York, I feel like I arrive from the future to the Flintstones. That's not me. That's what's his name, the writer for the New York Times. Sorry, I forgot. Jet lag. So I'm really excited to see what online consumerism does in China and also the online sphere. If you don't know what WeChat is or Weixin, I encourage you to take a close look at it and at the micro environment that it offers for very encompassing sort of living, starting from social life to shopping. And I'm excited to see what that brings. There's a lot of those kind of innovations that are coming from China that are very much changing and very, very quickly the way that even social media is being used and for what reasons it's being used, and I think that will be very interesting to take part in the next few years.
I think that I actually elaborate on that as well. I hope this is not boring, but so in my area, actually, one of the exciting areas is actually China as well. I don't know how many Chinese audience are here, but if you might be familiar with Wanda Group, mm-hmm. the real estate company in China. And they have purchased, I think, from last year to now, two of the biggest sports media agencies. And they're aiming to be the biggest in the world nowadays. So in terms of the intellectual property that they bought, it's actually quite a lot. a lot of them are football. Mass participation events has got quite a lot of potential. But I think the real challenge is for China, for example, in this specific field, as in sports, we did not have the tradition of having real sports fan in this area, which is fundamentally, I think, the issue have to be resolved. They have to develop the sports fan and therefore the sports audience, and then going on to actually connect those intellectual properties and that connect the federation and sponsor and competition in order to have a very healthy circle for this thing to actually develop, rather than just buying it and owning it. I think that's a challenge and also an opportunity, how to connect everything together.
Thomas Friedman.
Friedman. That's what I figured. Yes.
Hello, Amanda, and thank you for all your wonderful sharing. I have one question. I think in LSE, teachers provide a lot of theory, and sometimes the theory has conflict between each other, against each other. And I found a hard time to fight my own beliefs, and I'm wondering how the room might find integrating these theories and find your beliefs, and how you use that belief to make the world become better.
Want to cluster the questions?
Yeah,
we'll get one or two more.
Hello. Firstly, nice to meet you, and thanks for sharing with us and being here. I'm Lily, and I'm on the global track with USC. I think so many classmates share the same concern as me, because we have a lot of pressure from the academic work, which leaves us less time to exploring the other aspects of our life, like exploring the city, or going to social events, or establishing our networking. So my question is, how to balance the other aspects of your life, and is it changed from the first year in LSE and the second year in USC or Fudan? Thank you.
So I can talk about USC, and don't worry, you'll have time to enjoy California, Los Angeles, and get outside of campus. I mean, that was at least my experience, both on the social and professional standpoints. I got to do a lot of real-life projects outside of campus and spend a lot of time meeting people and enjoying the city, but I really loved my year in London. For me, it was the first time writing in English and, big essays, and so I had to study probably twice more than English speakers, and so I spent hours and hours and hours at the library, but it was, it brought me so much, and today I only work in English, and I couldn't have gotten the job hadn't it been for all the hours spent at LSE. So, for me at least, first year was a lot harder and a lot more serious than the second year.
I totally agree. I think, don't worry. I think the beauty of this program is it combines, theoretical and also practical side. So I still remember LSE year is more intensive, because there are a lot of papers, projects, and then you have to check, go to library and check a lot of books and stuff. But in the USC years, and then there are also a lot of papers and, but still, you will have time to enjoy the city, because London and Los Angeles, they're different. So I think the other thing is, for both LSE and the USC side, you will find this program actually provide you a lot of resources, alumni. You can tap into not only Annenberg alumni, but the whole USC system, and then which you can definitely request for information or interview. Everybody is so helpful. And then, at least that's my, experience. So, yeah.
Others?
I guess it also really forces you to prioritize. Mm-hmm. So I think they're great to have the two different years, because they allow you to explore completely different things. So As I mentioned, there's so many things you can do here at LSE. There's not enough time. You know, you might also decide to go to a lot of events or be active in the clubs. And I have to say exactly the same feeling. I feel like I had no time to, for instance, explore London as an amazing city while at LSE, but just because it's such a microcosm and you can spend all your day here, basically, and never get bored or tired. But I think for the second year at Fudan, it was also great to maybe connecting with the other question to actually learn about what some of the theories really mean in your day-to-day life, like being the other, quite visibly, you know. And I think this is great. So they are very different, and it's really about how you set your priorities to get the most out of it in the direction that you are most interested, where your passion lies, where you want to learn more. Then you need to be very confident and just say, look, this is where I really feel I want to go, and that's why I choose a certain internship or I don't. I think it's really up to you to make the best out of it.
I think you should IELTS is very hard, but like Yuna said, it's very much about prioritizing. And also, I think there are different skills in terms of time management that you can explore. And it really shouldn't be a concern. For example, this one next to me managed to be a great student and also finding a wife. Look at that. So time that he definitely got. So about the first question, I think that's precisely the beauty of being in an academic environment, having your professors giving you different theories, and they are having a debate sometimes. One professor might say that, the other one say that. I think that's exactly the beauty of inner academic development for yourself, to be more critical and to think from different perspectives, to analyze, to find the evidence to support your own theories. Because I think afterwards, in real life, you might have different situation when you might have to think carefully before you argue with clients. So I think, yeah, appreciate that, actually, yeah.
I want to thank our panelists for a very interesting discussion. I also want to say that I think Terry and I have been going about this incorrectly. We've been doing all this fundraising in order to do more scholarships for the program, and what we should have done is set up a dating company. Because I think that's where the money is. Something like that. And so at this point, we should give a round of applause to our wonderful panel.
Absolutely, and let's thank Patty for giving us a new business model for the global program. I think I need to make some hasty revisions in the documents I sent to the school. Not all of you probably know me, because I was away from LSE between 2006 and 2013. Those of you particularly alumni may have missed me, but it's great to meet you. And one thing I wanted to stress as I wrap this up, this first stage of today, is that when LSE got in touch and suggested I might be interested in coming back, the key thing that was decisive for me was how global the faculty had become, how much they were engaged in activism and events around the world. Now, I wasn't to say we weren't in that space in the early 2000s, but we've moved to a different level, and that's the fundamental thing that attracted me back. So when I became head of department, was planning what I'd do as head of department a year ago, I was determined that I would make the global program and the strengthening of the global program one of my priorities. And I've been really lucky through this year to visit all the programs in USC in April, Shanghai in March, and also to visit our potential new program in Cape Town in September. And it's been very exciting to develop that with Terry and colleagues. I think it's been an exhilarating afternoon. We've had challenging debate and discussion from Rakesh Sholmay and Wendy Willems, and we've had some wonderful experiences and insights shared in our second session, and I hope you've enjoyed it. It's particularly nice, of course, to have back here so many of our alumni this afternoon. Terry, through a lot of work, has established we have a Facebook group now of at least 650 and growing. We don't know the exact size of the global universe, but it's certainly expanding. And if you're not part of it yet, please do think about joining. One of the alumni said in the film a great thing. He said, let's hope we can get together more in the future. Well, that's exactly what we want. We want to really step up our engagement with alumni in the next 15 years. As you may have heard, we've moved to new offices in Towers 2 and 3. We are no longer huddled in the corridors of St. Clement's, and do possibly have a look at our expansive new space before you go back. We want to meet you more often. We will be planning more events. We will be in touch with you much more. And that's why we asked, as Terry mentioned at the beginning, Eleanor Hatt from the LSE Alumni Relations to be here, to bring some literature here so you can pick it up. You may already be signed up to LSE Alumni, but you may have friends who are not. So do pick up the forms and so on that they have here and think about that. And as Terry mentioned, there are forms there. If you're thinking of being generous to all LSE at some point in the future, you have a form you can fill in. But one key thing that they've innovated this year is they've added a part of the form where you can give the money direct to the department. That may be the last thing you want to do, but it may be something you might consider, and we'd be thrilled. So we are together today. We are talking, so we need a lot more talking to do until the end of the evening. Let me just run through what's happening. We are now going to move down to the senior common room for drinks, where we can talk before, at 7 o'clock, the dinner starts, and I think we may have some new guests joining us for the dinner, particularly alumni who have been at work during the day. There'll be one or two more speeches, including a bit more from me and a speech from every representative of all the old and potentially new global programs. And then we will move to coffee or whatever you prefer in the SCR at the end of the evening, and the networking and friendship can go on. So I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.